to unquestioningly believe in his promises to us and act with courage in the opportunities he is bringing us during this season. Amen. What I want to share with you now, dear family, is our great hope. Our hope is in God's protection, dear ones. The help of man is vain, as it is written. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's Psalm 20, verse 7. Again and again in the history of Israel, the people were far outnumbered by world-class armies, longing to annihilate them. But time and time again, when people lived in faithful ways, according to the rules God gave them, God came to their rescue and did away, miraculously, with their overwhelming opposition. The parting of the Red Sea is only one of those ways, but it's worthy to remember. Also, when the Lord told the Israelites to paint the lintel of their door with the blood of the sacrificial lamb, and the angel of death would pass over them and their animals, while at the same time those without the lamb's blood would suffer the loss of their firstborn, both family members and animals. Dear family, the Lord is calling to us. He is asking us during this time of inner cleansing to examine our hearts, repent of our sins and compromises, and reform our lives, and do good where we were doing badly. Then as we do that and call upon His protection, we and our loved ones can be more assured of protection from sickness. I'm being instructed by the Lord to read prayerfully and thoughtfully Psalm 51 every day. I'm also praying the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. This can be prayed on a rosary, and I have to say, it takes me deep into the Lord's heart. There's something about the repetitions that allows you to relax and enter in. Very, very peaceful. Knowing how kind, intimate, and forgiving He has been with us can lead to a certain complacency. But now, at this time, He is calling us to throw it off and take a deeper look at our unfaithfulness to Him and reform not only our thinking, but our actions in order to please Him and make up for our lapses. Are we living selfishly? Are we watching unclean things? Are we withholding from the poor and spending lavishly? Are we tender and kind with others, or harsh and judgmental? Are we giving Him the best hours of our day for prayer and worship? Are we responding in obedience when He asks us to put down what we are doing, to pray for others who may not even be related to us? Are we putting our whole hearts into the work He has given us to do? Are we binding up wounds of others or finding fault with others? Are we thanking Him in the midst of our inconveniences? Are we becoming irritated, frustrated, ungrateful, and laying up judgments against ourselves for our ingratitude when we should be thanking Him for every test and offering our pain for those dying without salvation? How many bitter roots have we planted in ourselves by becoming impatient and intolerant? I'll tell you what, guys, I can't count them because I've been struggling a lot with those faults. I must go to Him every morning to get these things removed. I tend towards impatience and implanting a bitter seed when things don't suit me. Oh, I could go on and on, dear ones, and I have been guilty of every one of these faults in the past year. I long to be clean and pure of motive before Him. He has a great deal of work in my sorry self to clean up the mess of self-will and self-preoccupation. I want to cooperate with Him with all my heart. I am sorry, Lord. I am still an adolescent. I am not the full-grown woman you've called me to be. I still want foolish things. I still avoid what I should have taken care of. I still complain for inconveniences. As Mother Elisha would say, in short, I'm a hot mess. But he is Lord over even this, and I have given him full permission to reform me. So in order to live under his protection, we must be living our lives for him, not just ourselves and our families. Or if we are too weak and have fallen into stubborn habits, at least we must have the sincere motive to be reformed and free of these entanglements. This is why I believe we should all begin the day with Psalm 51. The very words of this psalm of repentance were given to me during my salvation experience when fire fell from heaven and paralyzed my body for 40 minutes. That's in the story of my conversion, by the way. Have mercy on me, O Lord. My offenses, truly I know them. Turn your face away from my sins. Deprive me not of your Holy Spirit. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. What an incredible moment that was in my life. Dear ones, my faith without works is dead, dead, dead. Am I flagging in my faith? Yes, I am. Why? Because I've talked myself into permission to take spiritual shortcuts. I've said it's all right if you can say something about someone else, because it's true after all. It's okay, you're weak and tired and you need to eat a treat. You can abstain another day when you're stronger. Oh, it's okay if you fall behind in answering emails. Just let them sit for weeks. Dear ones, this is the thinking of a lukewarm soul, a person who has lost the fire of their first love. These are acts of indifference, proving I don't really care about what's important to my Jesus. My own whims are more important than all of it. After all, I do give to the poor and try to help where I can, so I'm still okay. Right, Lord? This is what makes the angels and saints sick to their stomach and sick at heart when they see such indifference from a chosen soul. Yes, I am laying it bare for you, precious family, so you can recognize where you might have gone astray. The Lord gave me the church at Sardis, the one where he says, I know you have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. I believe that is my own personal state from laziness and indifference. But I also see this in the church at large. And if we are going to be trusted with the graces of revival, we need to fess up, turn over a new leaf, and live for God alone more than ever. Are you with me in this family? Do you want more of God? To be deeper and used in ministry and walking righteously with him? Do you want his protection? It comes with reformation of our hearts. We are being called to be true to ourselves and true to our God. Whether we are protected from this deadly sickness or not, at least we will have done our best to be real with the Lord, confess our faults and shortcomings, and be ready to either be healed or taken to be with him. So I am pleading with all of you, do not delay your repentance. Turn now to the Lord and seek the truth about yourself. Where have you fallen short? Where do you need to change? Then ask him in total confidence to perfect you, to cleanse our hearts and consciences from empty works and vanity. It is the sincere intention of the heart that will be our protection, whether we live or die. But at least we will know we have done our best to be who he has called us to be, and we will never give up. Lord, did you have something to add? Jesus began, I am listening very carefully to your heart, which is also my heart for you. I long to see you cleansed from these little foxes that have ravaged our vineyard. My beloved, You truly are weak, but I remind you that where you are weakest, you can certainly become strongest and lead others to conquer their weaknesses. I know you lament your shortfalls. I know also that your mind races from one thing to another and you lose sight of what you just decided and continue to go down a path that will not in the end bring you happiness and fulfillment. I am not beating you here, my dearest. I am only asking you to consider the end of every decision you make. Even as St. Francis said, ask, Sister Death. In other words, in your last hours on earth, will you lament the decisions you made or will you rejoice in them? Not one of you, my people, are perfect in all aspects. Not one of you has full self-control in every situation. Not any of you have arrived. Consider Mother Teresa in her last days. She lived without the consolation of my tangible and sweet presence for decades. She questioned even if she had done the right thing with her life. And look at the fruit this saint brought forth through her obedience. Do you expect to be any better? Do you expect to have every assurance that you've accomplished your highest mission? It is a suffering, my dear ones. Yet there is also cause to examine your ways and see if perhaps your dryness is the result of presumption or guilt. During these 40 days of Lent, I want you to make as many fast offerings and sacrifices as you can so that I may release the graces of conviction and reform into your lives. The works of mercy are so very central to your healing, feeding the poor, visiting the sick and imprisoned, praying for those who are remote from your lives but who desperately need your prayers. Forgive all who have wounded you, not once, not twice, but 70 times 7. Forgive them, and your Father in heaven will surely forgive you. Put yourself in the lowest place and seek to serve rather than to be waited on. Do not gloss over a fault when you feel a prick in your conscience. That is a great grace. To know your sins is a very great grace and calls for your fidelity and commitment to change. Oh, how I am calling to you, my world, my people. How tenderly I call to you and how greatly I hate to see you suffer. I am taking you by the hand even now, imparting gentle conviction and an authentic desire to change. I wish to bring revival upon the earth, but I am so in need of vessels that are not cracked and full of holes, vessels that will hold the graces I shower upon them and not squander them with preoccupations in vain things, pride, judgment, rancor, and bitterness. These attitudes, which at times can be dominating your lives, are deadly to the graces I need you operating in. That is why I am allowing such a horrific wake-up call to the world. If you wake up and reform your lives, you can be assured it will get better. If you do not respond, it will get worse. It is just that simple. I love you so very much. I need your obedience and faithfulness. I need your cooperation and to see you operating in brotherly love and self-sacrifice. I need to see you faithfully carrying your cross and not slipping away, leaving it in the shadows. Many of you in this moment are already aware of the things I'm saying, and you have decided to really correspond and change. Some of you want to change, but you're too fond of your vices. Others are insulted by the thought that they, good church-going Christians, have anything to repent of. But you all have one thing in common. You are my body, and I love you. And I'm making a provision for each of you to step forward out of your sins and vices. so that together we can master what has held you back for so long. I am pleading with you to confess your sins one to another and begin anew to carry the cross I have custom made for you, believing that I am with you and you will overcome the things of the past. This is a new season and it requires a new commitment to holiness. And I am here by your side, beloved, to carry you through to the victory over yourselves. Take my hand now. Talk to me as you never have before. Be gut honest with me. I already know your struggles. Ask me for the grace. Just ask me. And when I give it to you, don't squander it. Be faithful, for there is great beauty and reward in store for those who do. And you will not do this in your own strength. You will do it only with my grace, so do not rely on yourself. Rather, do all you can and expect me to fill in the rest, to bring you to a happy ending. I am with you. I am for you. You mean the world to me. Let's go now and conquer our foes.